and his study book, he blamed her. But take your Bible, look in Acts 16. Acts 16. Amen. We'll take a few minutes, and then we'll take a prayer request. I love reading the book of Acts. I'll tell you what. I've been in the book of Acts for the past couple of days, and I've been reading through here. And as I read through here, I'm seeing places where we went and when we was in Israel. And then you read, when you read about it, you see Corinth mentioned. And you met as Greece. And when you read the book of Corinthians, then you know it was in Greece. Paul was a missionary going with him and Paul, Barnabas, and then Silas went with him. And they went to, you read 1st and 2nd Corinthians is to the Grecians, which were Corinthians. And that's why Paul's, he talked about the superstition and all that stuff that they had. But in Acts 16, I love this story where Peter is, put in jail. Look at this. And he goes through all this thing. And we'll go verse 1. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, and it says, the son of a certain Jew, a certain woman, which was Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. And him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, whenever Paul, his policy was, whenever he went into a town, he'd deal with the Jews first. And the Bible talks about to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And whenever Paul went into a town, he preached to the Jews. He'd go in and preach to them. And you'll find in chapter 17, 18, 19, you'll find where Paul finally says, he says, all right, y'all don't want eternal life? He said, I'll turn to the Gentiles. And Paul is, he's going through every town, and he goes through Galatia. And that's where you got the book of Galatians. He goes through Ephesus, and you have the book of Ephesians. And you got Colossia, and then got the book of Colossians. So when you read those books, you're reading what Paul wrote to these churches, and you're reading those things. But back to chapter 15, look at chapter 15. Paul and was going through, he was preaching. And look what it says in chapter 15, verse 1. And certain brethren which came in from Judea taught the brethren and said, except be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So Paul has Timothy circumcised. And for an adult man to get circumcised, I'm going to tell you something, that's going to be painful, very painful. And usually, you circumcise a boy when they're born, and after 8 days, the Bible talks about that circumcising. It was a distinction between for the Jews, because the Greeks and the Gentiles didn't do that. Now, American health and around the world, they realize when you circumcise a child, it keeps from any infection in that child. And they've learned that. And here come some brethren that were Jews, but they still trying to keep the law of Moses and all that. And they start saying you had to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. And you had to go and become a Jew and be circumcised, and then, for you to be complete in your salvation. You always have people trying to add something to salvation. Salvation is complete already. Once you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, baptism doesn't complete salvation. Baptism, if you're saved, you're saved. Baptism, what it does, it shows obedience in your life. It's a step of obedience. And there's steps of obedience in a child of God's life. When you get saved, God expects obedience from you. He expects you to honor him, read his word. There's baby steps. Every time a child of God gets saved, we try to disciple them. We give them a Bible. We give them a discipleship book. We try to get them to the place where they start hungering for the word of God. We want to see them grow. Why? Because they become, they start trying to obey God. And if something happens to a child of God in their life where they'll stop growing. And I realize this, there's circumstances that come up. And the devil, once a person gets saved, I want you to remember this, once a person gets saved, the devil is going to try everything he can to stop them from growing. If you're here tonight, you're saved, the devil is going to do everything he can to keep you from growing, that your faith would get stronger, and that you would live closer to Jesus Christ. He's going to stop. He tried to stop you from getting saved, and once he can't get your soul, he tries to get your life. He'll try to ruin your life. So when you quit reading your Bible, you say, oh, this is kind of boring. They always tell me, read my Bible. And the reason why is so you can grow. Amen. So you can learn more about God. And so you can learn what you're supposed to do. In this little discipleship back here, a book I got, I give to people, I'll read it to you. Let me get it wrapped real quick. The thing, in this discipleship book, we give me a next step for a new Christian. And I was showing a guy this Sunday. It says what Christ has done for me. So what it does, it gets you looking in the Bible. And how I started learning verses in the Bible, I started reading Oliver Green stuff. I started reading the tracts that he had. And what I did, I was a bus captain, and my wife was with me, and we had Samson, just a baby. And I would get up, and I started learning how to read. My wife was teaching me how to read, and I'd get up on the bus and read a tract out loud to the kids and read it. And then I started looking at it. I started memorizing verses. It says, what Christ has done for me. How many folks in the world are righteous? Romans 3:10. Who can say Romans 3:10? For there's none righteous, no, not one. And I started reading that thing. I wanted to know what this book said. And because when I ran after I got saved, people started saying, well, have you spoken tongues? Since you've been saved? I went, what? What are you talking about? Getting speaking in tongues. Oh, have you done this since you've been saved? Have you done this? And the Seventh-day Adventist, you know, you got to keep the Sabbath day. It's Saturday. And I went, what? And I mean, all this stuff started coming at me. And I wanted to find out what the book said. Yeah. And so you start studying. What does the Bible say about all men? What does the Bible say about all? All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Yeah. All. And so I was showing this guy Sunday what Christ has done for me. He said, what God expects from me. A lot of Christians don't think God expects anything from them. God expects things from you. If you want God to bless you and use you, I mean, God, you're his child. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. He wants to meet your need. He wants to do the things. God's not sitting up in heaven like this, just looking down at you and hateful. He loves you. Once you're his child, he loves you. You're his child. He wants you to grow. He wants you to get to know him. So you got an opposition in between you and God. And opposition is the devil and the flesh and the world. The opposition that comes in between us and becomes between you and God. And God wants you to learn something about him. He wants you to know something about him. He wants you to know his character. He wants you to know what he expects from you. And God expects some things from you, just like you expect things from your children. You expect things. How many of y'all are saved in here tonight? You're God's child. He expects some stuff from you. And I mean, you think, well, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's all I need to know. And that's what happens. A lot of people get saved around here. We don't see them anymore. And somebody says, I was with somebody last night, and the guy passed away, 49 years old. He's saved. And his wife told me she was saved. I said, well, praise God. She said, he got saved at your church. Or he got saved in Florida, one of the two. He was here a couple times. And I said, well, praise the Lord. That's good. I'm glad he's saved. And, you know, he had an infection and died from an infection. But, you know, but what happens, a lot of people get saved, they never grow. They don't know what God expects from them. And they're not taught that. And once, if we can keep them here, we can teach them that through preaching and Sunday school and all that. But when a person gets out, the devil is going to try to come between them and God and destroy them. And, you know, it's just like you don't want nobody to come between you and your children. God don't want nobody to come between him and his child. And God expects us as brothers and sisters in Christ and their younger brothers to help. You know, we've always had our kids. When we had our children, I expected Samson and Ruth and others to help us with the younger kids. What God expects from you is to help the younger brothers and sisters. He expects that. If you're not helping a younger brother and sister in Christ, there's something wrong, man. You're supposed to be helping them. You're supposed to be instructing them. You know, you're not supposed to whoop them. It's not your place to whip them. Jordan, he takes care of the little kids. And Becky says, don't you whip your brother or sister. It ain't your place. And God's the same way. Everything that we do, the way we expect things, God's the same way. And a lot of things, but he's holy. And he's righteous. Amen. And what kind of church should I attend? A lot of people say, well, go to church of your choice. No, it ain't, man. No, you don't go to a church of your choice. The church of your choice, they never told you how to get saved.
Amen. Right, amen.
They never told you how to that you were lost on your way to hell. Amen. People said, well, I'm just going to go back to the church of my great, 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 great. My family were all Methodists. I didn't go back to the Methodists.
Amen.
That's right,
man. I didn't go back there. But why? They didn't tell me how to get saved. They didn't care.
That's right.
I didn't go back there. And people think, well, I'm you know, I was raised a Catholic, and I'm going to die a Catholic. I said, you're a fool.
Amen.
You're a fool. So here, this brethren came and started teaching these people and started saying that they had to be circumcised after they were saved, according to after the manner of Moses. He says, you can't be saved unless you do this. How many of y'all have heard people kind of put stipulations on salvation?
Yeah.
It says, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in disputing with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Paul, man, he got right in their face. God, you know what? The other apostles didn't get the revelation of the grace of God. They didn't get the memo. They probably figured it because Jesus talked about it, but they didn't get a hold of it. Paul got a hold of it. So when you read the Pauline epistles, you find where Paul's talking about the grace of God. And like Peter did in Acts chapter 10, he started understanding what God was trying to tell him. Somebody went through that other night. Who was it? It was Jay. Didn't you go through it? Other night. And Peter started getting a hold of him. He said, well, God brought down a big sheet. He said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, no way, not me. He said, I haven't eaten anything uncommon or unclean since I've been a Jew. And God said, what I've cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. And then Peter, he's trying to figure out, what does this mean? What does that mean? What does it mean? And then all of a sudden he gets a knock on the door. And there's a centurion of the Italian band in Caesarea. And he goes to Caesarea and preaches to them, and they get saved. And then Peter realized, and they spoke in tongues. That's the only time you find a Gentile speaking in tongues. And you say, well, Gentiles, Jews require a sign. Tongues were for a sign to the Jew.
That's right.
So why did this Gentile speak in tongues? Because of the six Jews that were with Peter, so they could see that God was going to save the Gentiles too. It was a sign to them, so they could understand it. The Bible's not complicated, folks. It's not really complicated. You read it through. You might not get it the first time. You might have to read it a few times to get it. But that's why we want to see people grow. And God expects things from us, and he expects us to grow. And now look on down in Acts 15. Look on down to verse 5. And there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, and thank God they did. The Pharisees, they believed in the resurrection. They believed in a resurrection. They believed in one other thing. What? Angels, that's right. They believed in angels. And the Sadducees didn't believe in it. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in none of that stuff. And that's why they were sad, you see. So, and there were up certain of sect of Pharisees which believed. Guess who Paul was? Paul was a Pharisee. And he says, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. So here they are at a council in Jerusalem, and they came together. Actually, they go back to Jerusalem, and they sit down and talk about this thing. They said, what's going on here? And then the Bible says in verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that God, that a good while ago that God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God that knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as did unto us. He said, God, we watched God save them people, give them the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. We watched it. He said, God chose me to go do it. Peter was the leader. Peter was the influence. So God used Peter. And he said, God chose the Gentiles. And so and he said, God knoweth the hearts of them, bear them witness, giving the Holy Ghost unto them, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them. There you go. Nobody's any better in the body of Christ. The Bible says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, but the church of God. Nobody's better than anybody else. I don't care if you're poor, white, black, red, yellow, it makes no difference. Everybody's equal. And it says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Know that now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the necks of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? You need to underline that in your Bible. Underline that where it says, neither our fathers nor us could bear that yoke. See, because the Bible says the Ten Commandments, they had to keep the commandments and all that. But the Bible says in Galatians that the commandments was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. To realize when you read the Ten Commandments, you go, man, I broke that commandment. I broke that commandment. You know, I broke that commandment. And I broke that commandment. It was the commandments was to bring you to Christ. To realize you broke all the law. You broke every bit of it. If the Bible says if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty for every bit. One point. Just like this Bible, if it's got one error in it, then it's no good.
That's right,
man. A little leaven leaven the whole lump. This Bible is the Word of God. And what happens is you got, I had a fellow call me, I was supposed to go to a funeral on Monday. I forgot all about it. A guy named Bill Dalton. Bill Dalton, how many of y'all remember Bill Dalton? Remember Bill Dalton? James Dalton's uncle. He had an aneurysm, a brain aneurysm. He was only 50-some years old. And Eugene calls me up. Eugene went. It was in New York City. Eugene calls me up and said, preacher! You know how Eugene is. Preacher! You ain't gonna believe what happened. He said, I know if you were there, they wouldn't have shut you down. He said, Jim Dalton told Eugene to sit down. He said, man, I got up and I started talking about Bill, how he was saved and how he loved God and he was not going to hell. And he said, I preached about hell a few minutes. And he said, finally, Jim said, I don't even believe in hell. I don't believe in hell. He said, I know if you were there, they wouldn't have shut you down. I said, well, I forgot all about it, brother. Bill Dalton, he was saved. He'd come down here and visit with us, him and Eugene Gilbert and all of them. And we were living in the church here. I remember waking up and hearing Bill outside the windows on this side. There was grass. He'd sit out there and read his Bible out loud every day. Read it out loud. And what happens to a man or a woman, they get into sin. And they'll get into sin so far nobody preach to them. They don't want nobody to tell them about it. It's wrong. They don't want to listen to nothing. And they just say, well, just leave me alone. And then they said, there ain't no hell. I don't even believe the Bible anymore. I got some guys I went to school with. And what happens is you get so far out away from God. And then what happens is you become a rebellious child.
Right,
man. You're a rebellious little brat.
Amen.
That God's got to do something about. And Eugene's, you know, he's yelling in the phone to me. And I said, well, brother, just pray for him, man. Pray for him. But look here. Look at verse 11 or 10. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul. That Barnabas and Paul sitting there, declaring them what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. God, you still using miracles and wonders. Why? To prove to the Jews that God was in it. And Jesus said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But there be no sign given but that sign which, when he's talking about his death. He was talking about his death. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so must the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And he said, that's going to be the only sign you're going to get. And it says, but then Paul and Barnabas did signs and wonders, man. They did miracles. I mean, brother and sister, even Peter raised the dead. And after that, they held their peace. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. He says, Simon hath declared, you know why James is speaking here? James, the Lord's brother, was the pastor of Jerusalem's church. The Lord's brother. Jesus' brother, half-brother. He was the pastor. Because why? The other James was killed. Go back to Acts chapter 12. The other James is dead. Acts chapter 12. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. See, the church, folks, the church was going through all kinds of suffering. And in the infancy of that church, the church was suffering. And now, if you read the beginning of the church age, I love to read the beginning of the church age. You're talking about the beginning of the church age. After Jesus Christ was crucified, rose again, and then all of a sudden the church age starts. and the beginning of the church. So the church was, they were trying to figure out, you know, about the grace of God. They were trying to figure out what they should do. They were trying to figure out things. But the Lord was with them for 40 days, and he was expounding to them, but they still didn't have it all together. So they kept praying, the Lord show us, and that's what the Lord will do. You don't, when you first got saved and you can be walking with the Lord for, you know, be in your Bible for 30 days, and still you sometimes you come to a place, you say, well, Lord, what do I do? And what you got to do, the Lord wants you to get to back and depending on his word. Get back and praying. As a child of God, you got to go back to the word of God. Don't think that you got, don't think once you get saved and you read your Bible one time, you want to read it one time through, you say, I got it all, I got it. No, you didn't. You ain't got it. You got to go through it and through it. Why? I read back through it and I go, man, I forgot all about that. Man, why didn't I see that before? I go back through it and I go, man, I forgot that. My, and I'm thinking, I'm thinking I can get up here and somebody can say, hey, tell us about this, tell us about that. And I think I can do that. But then when I read my Bible, I go, wow, I'm glad nobody asked me that. Ooh. Man, I forgot all about that. It says, about the time Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. That was John and James, the two brothers of Zebedee. He killed James. And Herod was after Peter, went to go kill Peter. And then Peter gets up in Acts 15, and he's telling the church, you know, God showed me that the Gentiles are going to get have the word of God. So this James here is the Lord's brother. The half-brother of Jesus Christ, pastor of Jerusalem's church. We were in Jerusalem. I always wondered, where would that church have been? Wow. I would like to find that, just go back. It's neat to go back and walk around and you think, maybe he walked by this way. Maybe the disciples came up through this street. You go into Old Jerusalem. We went through Old Jerusalem. It's something else. And it says, after they held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take them out a people, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as is written, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after God. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. You think about something, folks. Think about it. You're called after his name. You're bearing the family name. You got the family name. My brother brought shame upon our family name. He brought a lot of shame. And I had somebody recently call me and ask me to forgive him for bringing shame upon our name. But I'm going to tell you something. We got a name that's higher than our physical name. The name of God. And you're representing him. You bear his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power, become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name. You bear his name. Better make sure, we all better make sure every day that we're representing him good. The Bible says we're ambassadors for him. He said, after this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. There, right there, God's going to put that temple back up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols, from fornication, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses of old time has in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barabbas, and Silas. I didn't, probably it's not Barabbas, but Barsus. and Silas, chief men among the brethren. So they sent not only Paul and Barnabas goes back, but they sent other two witnesses saying what they're telling you is the truth. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren, greeting unto the brethren that are in, that are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying that you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same thing by mouth. And then he goes on telling them this, they're supposed to abstain from blood and all that, but I wanted to get chapter 16, 17. But talking about that circumcision, they were trying to put something on the Christians that God never intended. And God intends there's certain things that you're supposed to live by. Because of these four things, he says you're supposed to, he said right on them, they abstain from pollution of idols. Don't worship idols. You know what? We get idols in our heart. You get idols in your heart. You start losing your love for him. You start putting your love to something else. And the Bible says that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. So you start worshiping other things rather than him. You get your eyesight down level with this world rather than having your eyesight looking up towards him. And that's where you go off course. See, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The Lord wants you to walk, trust in him. But we go like this, like Peter. We got to see the waves, and we start sinking. You start looking around. You start saying, hey, man, look what they got. Look what they're doing. Look what they got. And you start sinking. Pollution of idols. I remember a preacher said one time, he said, if your love for God is gotten cold, you're worshiping something else. You know what the Lord, you know, I'll tell you this, when the Lord gets ready to come back, the Laodicean church, he says, I got something against you. We're the Laodicean church. He says, I'd rather for you be cold or hot. But we think, well, we'll go to church on Sunday. Yeah. Well, at least we're going to church. But the rest of the week, we live like hell. The rest of the week, talk the way we want to talk, live the way we want to live. Do what we want to do. God said, I'd rather for you be cold. That means it's all the way out. Or hot, on fire. Amen. And he doesn't want you out. He wants you serving him. Don't be lukewarm. If you say, man, I used to be on fire. I hate to hear when people say, I used to be. I hate hearing that. I used to do this. I used to do that. And I used to be this. I hate to hear that. That tells me that you've moved back. You're going back. And we've all done it. We've all done it. Ain't a person in this room hadn't moved back at some time in your life. But that's why I'm always trying to move forward. Go forward. Keep going. Just life is going by fast. What is your life but a vapor? Appear for a little while and then vanishes away. We got to stop right there. Never even got to where I wanted to get.